Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, you know, whatever sells the tickets, you want me to strip? You want me to strip? You want me? What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, those eyes are mesmerizing.
It's like ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, little just, pools of water.
I know. It's kind of, yeah, it's fake.
It's fake.
I live in Los Angeles. What do you think? Do you think anything is real there?
It's all for show.
Yeah, it's just like, but kind of like my body didn't take the silicone, so I just put the eyes.
Good to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bassem Youssef.
Yes. Are we starting?
We're starting, yeah.
Okay.
We'll just go in the deep end.
Oh,
just
okay.
Jump in.
All right. I just wanted to start.
How was your coffee?
It's good. I love the Honduras coffee.
Yes. Yes. You get two options here in the lobby for some reason. Only two, Peru or Honduras.
Yes.
I think you chose right. That's the one I usually do.
Yes. Yeah. I saw cocoa and I just went for it. We started. I wanted to start with a very scary Arabic voice. Hello, my name is Bassem Youssef. And I'm coming here to scare the shit out of white people.
Just set the tone.
Yes, yes. Just so they know that what they're expecting this weekend. A little bit of laughter with a lot of scary shit. That's me. Okay.
Please come. Bassem Youssef, you're known as the John Stewart of Egypt. Are you tired of that?
I'm tired of being asked this question. Every single interviews like you're known that John Stewart. I'm fine. And then the next session, are you tired of that? So here's my honest question.
Yeah. Like,
listen, I'd be honored to be mentioned in the same sentence, and I don't mind. And the thing is, like practically speaking, if you're coming here to the United States, it's like, oh, this guy did comedy in Egypt. All right, so what? Who the hell cares, right?
Right.
Oh, he's the John Stewart of Egypt. So that kind of gives them a little bit of reference, right? I mean, it's good. I mean, it's better than anything else. It could be like, you know, is the Rush Limbaugh of Egypt.
Your backstory is just incredibly boring. I mean, my God.
I know.
Just a snooze.
I know. I always try to add the things to it, kind of to make it interesting.
Yeah, jazz it up a bit.
Yeah, jazz it up.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are falling asleep. No, but your story is incredible. I mean, so you spent 13 years as a heart surgeon?
18.
18 years.
Yeah, if you added the medical school, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so medical school, heart surgeon, 18, 19 years. I was a heart surgeon and then left everything for comedy. And then because of that decision, a lot of people are alive today because I left medicine. All right, guys, keep it up. Keep up.
But you almost came to the States, though. Yeah. You're waiting for your visa. You were going to move to Cleveland, Ohio. Is that correct?
Well, I was going to. I mean, I didn't move to the States. I was waiting to actually go to Cleveland. I was accepted, and it was just a matter of paperwork. And then the revolution happened.
Yeah.
And then when the revolution happened, I mean, my life changed forever because suddenly we have like a whole new situation in Egypt. And then there was two different kind of situations, the situation in the streets and the situation that you see in the media, because they were spreading, you know, like terrible conspiracy theories and fake news. I know that you're still getting to know fake news, but like we've had it a long time ago. And then suddenly I'm kind of pissed because of the lies that they're spreading. So I started to do YouTube videos. I didn't think a lot of people would watch it. And suddenly millions of people watching it. And then I'm offered to do a TV show. And so I left medicine and I went into comedy.
That's wild. And
the rest is...
And you didn't move to Cleveland, which is the biggest highlight of all that.
Thank God.
Huge.
Have
huge.
You been there?
Yeah. I've been there. And I said the joke of like, you know, and a joke about like, thank God I didn't go to Cleveland, didn't go so well there. and I don't think it's, I don't think that they kind of like, because they like their city, it's just because like they know it's true. So they kind of hated me for the joke.
Were you with your wife at the time when you made these decisions? Did you get pushback from your family for leaving medicine to pursue comedy?
No. My wife was always supportive. The pushback was always with my parents. You know, my mom was like, "Oh my God, you're leaving medicine to go to comedy?" I know she sounds Jewish, but she was kind of like surprised. But then she said, "Well, you have to promise me that you're gonna stay a doctor." So I did. For actually the first year and a half, I would do the show and go to the hospital at the same time. And that was weird because, you know, the patients never took me seriously. And because they see this guy making jokes. It's like, all right, so we're going to open your chest. We are going to put an artificial valve in your heart. And it's like, you're kidding. You're kidding me. It's like, no, it's true. So, yeah, I had to leave because I didn't have enough respect.
Now, did you ever make a YouTube video prior to just being like, hey, I'm going to make one?
No. I was always mesmerized by Jon Stewart. I always watched his show like years before all of that happened. And then, but I was realistic. I said, like, it will never happen in Egypt. You know, but then suddenly there was an opening, there was an opportunity, and boom, I did it. And I didn't even think that 10,000 people would even watch the show. And then in a couple of weeks, I had 5 million. Now I know that with today's standards, 5 million is nothing. You have your cat, you put it on YouTube, it farts, it gets 5 million.
No.
But at that time, sure. 2011, it was YouTube was at its infancy in Egypt, and there was not even original Arabic content at that time, and it's exploded, and then suddenly everybody wants the show on the television. So
that's incredible.
It was actually the first conversion from internet to television at the time.
And then you get your show, which had 30 million viewers per episode or something silly like that.
Yeah.
That's insane.
One third of the population was
watching. One third of the population tuned into your show weekly.
Yeah. And it was kind of like the Super Bowl every weekend.
Yeah.
Everybody was like watching it without the nachos. Okay. And yeah, so they're watching it, but the thing is when something gets too popular, that's dangerous in the Middle East, especially when you have an authority that doesn't like to be made fun of. So we had the Islamists coming to power, and I found myself having like a warrant for my arrest, and then I had to be interrogated. And I talk about that in my show. It's kind of like a one man show, and I describe the scene of the interrogation, and it is ridiculous. It's not people. You think like, oh my God, it was scary. No, it was so funny. I mean, the good thing about like authoritarian regimes is that they give you a lot of material, and then I had that, and for a year I was kind of like a public, like a national hero, because I was like standing against the extremists and the Islamists and whatever. And then a military coup happened, and then the army took over, and everybody welcomed, including me, because we were scared of the Islamists. And then the military kind of like got their own fascist regime. So as a comedian, equal opportunity offender, I made fun of them.
Sure.
And that cost me a lot. Now, the thing is, the Islamists weren't very popular, but the army is very popular. So the army can do whatever the hell they want.
Mm-hmm.
So even people from my own family kind of like boycotted me and didn't talk to me. And then I ended up having like the show canceled a couple of times. And I had like people coming around my theater wanting to burn down the theater. And like I had like death threats and whatever. And then I had to escape from Egypt at the end.
And what year was that when you finally left?
Kind of like 2014.
2014.
And then I stayed like a couple of years in Dubai, and then I came to America right as Trump is becoming president. So.
Wow, good for you.
Yes. So that's
the material. So, just keeps coming.
So that's the second half of my show. It's like, so the first half of my show is I talk about my life as a doctor, as someone who found himself in the comedy, the interrogation, the turbulence in Egypt, and then the second half is like what happens to me here as an immigrant in Egypt, in America under these times. So it's a story. That's why I tell people it's not your usual stand-up comedy.
Right.
It's actually a storytelling. It's a stand-up style, but there's also I show people videos, and I show people like there's music, and there's pictures and stuff that actually really happened. And I enjoy doing the show.
I just appreciate how you find comedy throughout this entire process. But behind the scenes, inside, were you ever genuinely really nervous about your life, your family's life?
Well, I, looking back, I was actually more nervous about not doing a good show. I was nervous about, like, you know, I was actually more scared of the Twitter trolls more than authority. It's kind of like, because
scary.
Yeah, I mean, okay, because like, you know, what would happen, like, if the government takes you, right? You're a martyr, right? You're a hero. It's like, oh, look at the guy who's like jailed because of his jokes. Yeah, I'm everyone, you know. But then if you do a show and it's not that funny, yeah, that's painful, man.
Yeah.
It's even worse. That's why it's kind of like we I don't know. I think there's something about being exposed about fame. It's very intoxicating.
Yeah.
You're just you're scared. I was like, because we talk, when 30 million people watch you, and people say, "Oh my God, that's amazing." Well, no, that's terrible. It means that 30 million people have an opinion about you. It's terrible. You write a post on Facebook and just two people give an opinion, and you're like, "Ah, what do you mean? How come you talk to me like this?" And I remember like 30 million people having like this. So it's very stressful.
Is it more pressure doing stand-up comedy or a TV show than like doing heart surgery? Is it more pressure for you?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Yeah, because if you did heart surgery and you mess up, I mean, you just have an audience of two nurses. But but then if you mess up on national TV, it's like, this guy is not funny, and taunts you for the rest of your life. I mean, I'm not saying that like killing people on an operating table is bad, but I'm just saying that exposure is worse.
Yeah. It's a whole different world.
Yes. Imagine like doing surgery and like 30 million people watching. It's like, that's not the right suture. No.
You're wrong.
No, oh my God, is that an incision?
Canceled.
That's terrible. My 5 years old can make a better incision.
So how's life for you now living in the States? It's been what, you said like 5 years?
I live in, three and a half years in Los Angeles, a year in the East Bay. I love Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Yeah, you're just bragging about the weather.
Oh, yes.
Off mic.
Oh, my God, yes.
I mean, it's a rude awakening coming to Philadelphia.
Yeah, sure. I'm coming here to, and then he's telling me, oh, it's mild. It's been like 65. It's like in Los Angeles, mild is 85. That's my mild. It's like I enjoy my habitat. And Los Angeles is great. I love the weather there. And it has like the same weather as Egypt, the same traffic as Egypt. So I feel quite at home.
Are you a full-fledged American now? Do you have a TikTok and everything? Have you totally appreciated the American culture?
I will never do TikTok.
Thank God.
Thank you.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
I mean, if they offer me money, I will do it because I have absolutely no principles. But right now, I'm not going to do the TikTok. But being American. So actually, 4 weeks ago, I got my passport.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, baby.
I got mine like 2 years ago. I'm like,
where are you from originally?
I'm from here. No, but I just like got my passport. I just was just
you
lazy.
Never had one.
I just didn't have one.
Mine is expired right now. I got to work on
it. Is that right? Yeah. So,
God, guys. This is all small talk. I got my passport 4 weeks ago. You should celebrate this. This is amazing.
I'm excited.
I don't feel the excitement, man. I don't feel the excitement.
Damn it, Bass.
God, welcome to America, man. We're so happy you're safe. That kind
I
of thing, but like I tell them, I got my passport before. He's like, oh, he's like, I didn't. I just like I was too lazy. He's like, whoa, look at me. Come on, man.
I feel like I'm just talking to a guy from Cali over here.
Congratulations.
No, I'm actually very happy because I got the passport, and then the first day, you know, it was interesting because you know we had a video by Donald Trump welcoming us new immigrants becoming citizens, and I even have the letter welcoming me signed by him. So I have his like very flamboyant signature in my life for the rest of my life. And I actually got I had the oath, the ceremony on the day of his impeachment.
So, oh my God.
So it's just like, it's kind of like, is this authentic? can I use that? Can I cash this?
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And I had like my passport and I kind of like when I went out, I was like, oh my God, I'm an American now. I mean, what can I do? I mean, I should do things that other Americans do, you know, complain about everything or go out buy a gun or just like find an ethnic guy in the street and tell them go back to where they came from. I mean, like all of that stuff that like red-blooded, like, you know, red-hot-blooded American can do. And I didn't do that yet.
What are you waiting for?
I know. I want to.
Are these some of the observations you've made since coming to America that we do complain? I mean, we do complain a lot. I mean, we complain. We find new things to complain.
Listen. Everybody complains.
Yeah. I mean, that's no different.
No. Everybody complains. It's just people. Here's the thing. All right. Joking aside, we like to make fun of white people in America. But the thing is, like, it's just like everybody else. So, for example, one of the very common stereotypes, Americans know nothing about the world. Right? That's like, oh my God, we're so into ourselves. We don't know what. Do you think someone in Egypt knows something about something happening in Gabon?
Right.
Or Cameroon? No. I mean, you know, everybody has their own thing. It's kind of like because everyone knows about America because it is the strongest country in the world and it's leading the world into culture. So, yes, we know about your movies. Why would you know about Egyptian movies? There's no reason, right? So it's, and the thing is, like, also, it's like, oh, you know so much more than us. No, it really depends on the level of education. You know, if you meet, because you're comparing people who've traveled a lot in Egypt with, for example, someone who never left his town. That's not a good comparison.
Right.
You know, so, no, I think it's just like all of these jokes aside, it's like everybody's the same at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You have your own stuff that you complain, and you should complain. You know, it's like, hey, you pay him for this. Yeah. You're paying customers in this country. You pay taxes. I pay my taxes. I need to complain. You see, that sounds American.
I'm going on Twitter. I'll complain. I'm going to write my Yelp review.
Yes.
So as a doctor, switching gears here, I want to get some advice. You're a vegan, right? Did I read that correctly?
Yes. I always say I'm Arab and vegan, which makes me scary and annoying. I see. I'm really fitting in Los Angeles. My first car was a Prius. I'm vegan,
my God.
And I wake up every day trying to find something new to offend me. That is me in Los Angeles. Yes, I love Los Angeles, man.
You think everyone should be vegan? I saw like Instagram post. You shirtless. You ripped, man. My God.
Yes.
So is that the secret? Should everyone be vegan?
Yes. And then also you're going to see a lot of these posts. I'm kind of like getting more comfortable in my shirtless body.
Yeah.
I'm loving my body. Yes. The body positivity. All that shit.
You are LA. You are so LA. Yeah.
So here's the thing about the vegan thing. So
yeah.
I've been vegan for plant-based whole food diet, not just vegan.
Okay.
Because it's different. Six years ago.
Yeah.
And I was inspired by a friend of mine who had MS, multiple sclerosis.
Right.
And as a doctor, to find a guy with this kind of disease who can reverse it, I was like, what? I need to search into it. So I watch all the movies, Forks Over Knives and The Cowspiracy, and then I kind of like met those doctors and I said, like, I need to bring this to the Middle East. And I actually created a platform called Plant B. The website plantb.tv, that's the platform. It's the only platform in the world that's bilingual and talks about plant-based diet and has everything. We created videos, we have recipes, we have science, and we even have... So when I launched last year in the Middle East, and people like made fun of me. It's like, oh my God, you're doing vegan in the Middle East? We had 20 million views.
Really?
Yeah, and all of our platform. And I'm actually like looking for investors in the Middle East to actually expand that, to kind of have more people getting into it. And my approach to being vegan is not what you used to. I'm not a militant vegan. I don't shame people for their choices. My approach is not like the ethical veganism.
Mm-hmm.
It's very healthy. So I tell people, listen, you want to have a cheeseburger every now and then, it's not the end of the world. It's like what you do 95% of your time. 95% of your time is like still a lot of plant-based whole food diet. So, and I tell people, if you have a chronic disease, why don't you try this for a change? If you're 100% healthy, you have no complaint, you can live it a little bit every now and then,
mm-hmm.
but it's. I've been much healthier with this.
Really?
And
more energy, better.
More energy.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, you know, like my skin is just very good.
You're glowing.
Like, yeah, I'm glowing, and I helped a lot of people reverse their chronic diseases, and I actually want to continue doing that. So
it's incredible.
For me, I'm kind of like focusing on the disease reversal aspect.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, while you're in town, we were talking about vegan cheesesteak spots. I mean, you have to have a cheesesteak.
Yeah, Veg.
Veg.
I was here before and I tried it.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Good.
Pass the test. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was the one that you were talking about that he has to try?
It's called Vegan Tree. It's on South Street, like South and 8th. I used to live like right above it.
Ooh, nice.
We don't endorse really them, good. So we're not making money.
I just really love it.
They should be sending us like something now.
They should, yeah.
As they listen.
No, it's like a little small place. It's great. So if you're on South Street, that's what I would recommend.
Yeah, I would go.
Explore the cold, dirty streets of Philadelphia.
Yes.
Come on, Bossum.
No. I like Philly. I like Philly. Actually, I have a picture with next to Rocky Balboa's.
Oh, you did that?
Yeah, I was here before, and I actually did like there's a song.
Rocky Steps?
Yes, I did. Yeah, and I kind of like I was out of breath, by the way.
So you had the whole Philadelphia experience already.
Yeah, yeah. It's a cool city, and I love the murals here too.
Yes.
Yeah, most murals.
Yeah.
I think in the U.S.
She was a tour guide in Philadelphia before radio. Yeah, so she can tell you all about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
She already gave me like a name of a great vegan joint. So thank you.
Yeah, yeah. She knows all the hot spots.
She's very useful.
So you have.
Why I'm here.
It's like a Snapple cap. She has all the fun facts. City of Philadelphia. So you have what a show tonight? What's the schedule?
I have two shows tonight on Friday and two shows tomorrow at the Philly Punchline Philly, and I'm excited because I haven't done the Punchline Philly before, and it's a cool place. And I just knew that it's actually relatively new. It's been here for 3.5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So come out, Philadelphia.
Come
Don't worry.
Out.
I mean, there's nothing to fear other than a little bit of a cold weather and coronavirus, but hey.
You can do it. What's a little coronavirus?
Hey, we're going to laugh it off.
It's good for
we
you.
We're going to laugh it off. Like, I'm dying. Laugh it off.
Laugh it off.
You're a doctor, so it's fine.
Yes. That's true. Yeah, where else would you want to be? Come on. Be with the doctor.
Yes, it gets me somewhere warm and then everybody is drunk and laughing. I mean, come on. It's the best thing ever. Right.
Love it. Bassem Youssef. See him tonight or this weekend, Punchline Philly.
Tonight, two shows tonight and two shows tomorrow, 7:30 and 9:45 at the Punchline Philly and the Stronghold Street and
You got that? Perfect.
Yes.
Punchlinephilly.com. Grab your tickets. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.